but he ended up here at Symphony, and you know, I realized God knows what he's doing. He found this beautiful wife. He got additional training from Pastor Barry, and something about GCC training and Symphony training coming together, it produces some very powerful men of God. Amen. I was trying to compliment, him. So let's say, amen. Okay. This message is a little more directed towards Pastor Chan, but I think that it could be applicable to all of us. And the title of the message is "Fight the Good Fight," and you know, it comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 through verse 8. Let me read it to you. And we're only going to be focusing on this topic on verse 7, but let me read the whole passage. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near. I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Amen. Why don't we take a moment to pray? Lord, we celebrate what you have done here at Symphony. We celebrate what you have done in Pastor Chan's life. And Father, we thank you for a kingdom worker who really wants to serve you and continue to serve you. And I pray, Father, as Symphony continues, I pray that you will keep raising out of this congregation many mighty men and women for the next generations to come. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, I'm going to be talking to you about fighting the good fight. As Paul talks about this idea that he has fought the good fight. And this is kind of addressing more towards Pastor, Chan, I know your name. He confused me today because we went out to a coffee shop, and did you know that his American name is Daniel? Anybody know that? I'm like, wow, really? Okay, I didn't know that, but Pastor Chan, here's the three battles that I want him to be reminded, as well as Symphony to be reminded, as you continue, I believe, to produce some really quality kingdom workers here at Symphony. Number one, the battle, the spiritual battle. Number two, the lordship battle. Number three, the wisdom battle. And I'm praying that today, especially Pastor Chan, but all of us, will remember these basic battles and settle it biblically. Because sometimes I think in the midst of doing daily life, in the midst of experiencing many trials and temptation, we may have slipped and we may not be fighting the good fight in these three battles. So let's look at these three battles. Number one, the spiritual battle. Classic passage on spiritual battles is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and on. And it says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand guard, and after you have done everything, to stand." Amen. So, you know, this ideal in Ephesians, it talks about that there is a world that is beyond the world that we see physically, what we see, what we touch, what we smell. And, you know, all of us live in that world every morning when we wake up. You know, we see things. We touch things. You're touching, you know, your chairs, you know. You smell things. Amen. All right? And so you live in this physical world, but what the Bible says is that as real as the physical world, those of us who understand who Jesus Christ is, those of us that understand that there is a God, we have to know that there is also a spiritual reality. There is a spiritual reality, and we need to be self-controlled. We need to be alert. And in fact, in this passage, it says that we need to daily put on what Paul says, the armor of God. I'm looking at all of you. This is the best dressed symphony crowd I've seen, okay? You guys, many of you came here prepared for Pastor Chan's, I keep wanting to say wedding, but it's not his wedding. It's an ordination. I actually just came from a wedding yesterday. Flew out at 6 o'clock. I had to wake up at 4. I just want your sympathy. Amen. Where am I? Okay. Armor. Yeah. All of you guys are well-dressed, but do you wake up in the morning realizing that you actually need to put spiritual armor on? That as much as you put a physical cloth on to get ready for the day, the Bible calls us to put spiritual armor on. And in Ephesians, it explains this armor, but when you read it, you realize that it's saying put on Jesus. You know, in the morning, do you wake up and say, you know what? I'm going to walk into the physical world, but I'm also walking into the spiritual world. And just as I put clothes that are right for that particular day, for that particular weather, I need to put on spiritual armor to do spiritual battle. Because many times we don't see this battle. Many times we don't smell this battle. Many times we don't feel this battle. And we wonder why many times our spiritual life seems to be on a downward spiral. Why we're not intimate with God. Do you know that every morning when you wake up, there is a spiritual battle for your soul? In fact, the scripture says there is a roaring lion that wants to devour us, that wants to deceive us, that wants to lie to us, and that there is a spiritual battle. And my prayer is for, you know, Pastor Chan and all of Symphony, that you will see, you will feel, you will smell that there is a spiritual battle, or else discouragement, delayed, and even defeat will come into your lives. Now, let me just tell you that this battle is the Lord's. Okay, this is not our battle, but God gives us the armor. God gives us his presence. God gives us his word. The Holy Spirit could fill us. The battle is the Lord, right? Jesus has overcome the world. He has defeated the enemy. But we need to awaken to this battle. We need to open our ears to the commander. We need to ask God to help us to see spiritual reality, right? Spiritual reality. Because many times we get caught up, and I understand that, about what I'm going to eat, where I'm going to go, what my job's going to be, what my future is going to be. These are important to God, but we understand in the scripture that there is a spiritual reality. How am I doing? Who am I really fighting? What am I up against? You know, many years ago when I was in college, I was the president of the college ministry, and we had about 200, 250 students. And I had an officers team. It was very ran heavily by students. I had an officers team, and I was the president, and this officers team was not united. In fact, my vice president and kind of the organizing event coordinator used to get into fights all the time. I mean, it was like water and oil. You know, it was like opposites, amen? And so they can fight all the time, frustrate me. And also, I just felt a heavy burden for my campus ministry. And I remember after an officers meeting, after we got into, the two of them got into a huge fight, I came home and I was so frustrated. I had to take an exam and I didn't feel like I did well. There were so many things happening in the college campus ministry that I felt like wasn't going well. And came home in an apartment that I lived with two other roommates, got into my room and, I used to love praying out loud when I was young. I mean, I just used to love screaming like, Jesus, Lord, you know, destroy the enemy. Like, just go at it, right? But it was in this apartment where, like, you know, student housing, and it was, like, paper thin, so I can't scream, or people will think somebody's dying or something, right? So what I used to do is I used to take the pillow and just, you know, just put my face in the pillow and just scream, you know, and just go, Lord! Lord! I'm very honest with God. Lord, hurt my vice president. You know, what's wrong with that? I was screaming for about 10, 15 minutes, just crying out to the Lord. And then I heard the door open, and I thought it was my roommate. And I said, hey, I forgot his name. Hey, this guy, that guy, I forget everybody's name. I almost forgot Pastor John's name, okay? And I go, hey, brother, is that you? And I hear footsteps, and no one's answering. So I'm like, whoa, what's going on, right? I mean, it's middle of the day, right? And I go, what's going on? And then I look at my bedroom door, and there is an entity. This has never happened to me before, has never happened to me after. But in the moment of my frustration and crying out to the Lord, I see this entity at the outside of my bedroom. And I'm sitting on my bed because I was praying and crying out into the pillow. I go, huh, huh. And this entity walks over and I am freaking out, right? I'm like, is this the figment of my imagination? Is this something that happens when you pull an all-nighter? I don't know. I was like thinking of all this stuff. This entity comes by me on my bed, bends over, and then it kissed me on my cheek, and it left. All right, some of you might have heard this story. I sat there as a college student. I was like, what was that? I started pinching myself because I thought I was having hallucination. I'm like, why would this thing walk in and kiss me on my cheeks? I sat there for a few minutes trying to figure this out, and then I felt the presence of God tell me that God was saying, I love you, all right? Now some of you are like, you're weird, Pastor Young, all right? I don't think it was Jesus. I actually think it was an angel. Now, am I telling you, you need an experience like that? No, but I want to tell you, God is real. There are angels in our midst. There are demons in our midst. This stuff that the Bible talks about is reality. For a lot of us in this room, I know even this story, you can try to figure out, maybe you were tired. Maybe it was something else. I've never seen that guy. Maybe I'll see him in heaven. I go, are you the angel that kissed me? Are you the angel that kissed me? I don't know, all right? I've never seen that entity again. But I'm going to tell you, many times when I wake up in the morning, many times before I preach, many times before I counsel, I feel the spiritual battle. There is something happening in your life that is beyond physical. And some of the reasons that we struggle spiritually is because we are totally blind to the spiritual battle, right? We need to put on the armor. We need to read the word of God because it's the bread of life and it is the weapon for the spiritual battle. We need to get on our knees because prayers can bring down strongholds. These are not just, practices that we practice to be spiritual. These are spiritual weapons that God has given us to fight the good fight. Amen? Amen? I pray in Jesus' name that some of you see that angel tonight. Imagine. All right? Amen. All right, let me give you a passage here. Some of you are like, I don't know what to do with that story. I just don't know what to do with that story. All right? It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they are divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. All right. Those of us who are children of God, we have been given spiritual weapons. We have given spiritual breakthrough weapons. Of course, it's intimacy with God. It's the basic things. Reading the Bible is not just intellectual. It is spiritual. Getting on our knees to pray is not just a regular habit. It is coming into the very presence of God. We were called to demolish strongholds with the divine weapons that are spiritual. So, Pastor John, remember, there is a spiritual battle, and I pray that you will continue to put on the armor of God. Amen? All right. Now I know why they don't say amen. You don't say amen heart. Amen? Amen. All right. See that? All right. Let's go to the lordship battle. In Luke chapter 14, it says this. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. Turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father, mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Here, this is a pretty controversial passage. Here it says that if you don't hate your father, mother, your wife, your children, your brothers, your sister, yes, your very own life, that you're not worthy of following Jesus Christ, okay? Now, when we were all teenagers, sometimes this verse was very realistic. It's like, I hate my mom and dad. I don't know if you ever went through that phase. You know, we're like, oh, I can obey that. You know, I just don't like them. They don't understand me. But we know the Bible, it seems like it's contradicting itself. Scripture talks about honoring parents. It talks about really submitting to the parental authority because it is also many times God's authority. But yet in this particular text, it says, listen, if you really want to follow Jesus, you need to hate your father. You need to hate your mother. You need to hate your wife. You need to hate your own children. You need to hate your brothers and sisters. What is going on? Now, we know that in the Greek language, what's happening here is it's saying if you compare your devotion to God and you say, do I love God or do I love my father, my mother, my brother, you know, my children? When you say, when you compare these things, it's supposed to be, I love God so much and I'm so single-mindedly focused on who he is and his lordship, that if you want me to compare God to anything else, it's like, I love God, I love Jesus, I love the Holy Spirit. Compared to that, I hate everything else. Now, for some, this might be a stumbling block. Again, when you look at the Bible, we know the Bible talks about forgiving. Bible talks about loving our enemies. So in this text, what it's saying is, listen, we need to honor our parents. We need to love our children and not get them angry. But when you compare between loving God and anything else, it's like, I love God, and if you want me to compare, I hate other things, even my own life, because my own life is not worthy of who God is. Are you with me here? If you have questions about this, ask Pastor Chan, amen, after he gets ordained, okay? It is the lordship battle. And I want to tell you, I know this is tough, the most exciting way, the most fun way, the best way to live this Christian faith is to go all in for Jesus. It's to go, you know what? There's a lot of stuff I like. I like my hobbies. I like my girlfriend. I like vanilla ice cream. Actually, I like strawberry ice cream. You know, I like this and that. But if you want me to compare that to Jesus, I love my children, my three kids. But it's like, I hate my kids if you want me to compare to my love for Jesus Christ. Because when we are seeking the kingdom of God first, he will add other things unto us. When you seek the other things, you will lose the kingdom of God and what you think you are pursuing. So here's the question that I would like to ask Pastor Chan and all of the symphony is this. Is Jesus really the Lord over your life? Is he really the most important person in your life? His opinion, his dream for you, is that what you live for? Do you want to love and obey him no matter what? You know, I don't know if you're supposed to do this stuff to your children when they grow up, but when my kids were growing up, and I, especially with my youngest, I used to do, I'm sure if you have kids and later on when you have kids, you might do this. My youngest, I used to sit around for like literally 10 minutes and go like, I love you. And he would be like, I love you too. This is like, 3-4 years old. Man, Pastor Chan's daughter is so cute, amen? I was like, dangerous. So cute and so smart, okay? And I'd be like, I love you. And he would say, I love you too. And I go, I love you more. And he would say, I love you more. I love you more and more. You know how it goes. I love you more. I love you more infinite. I love you more infinite times infinite. We go back and forth, like for 10 minutes. I love doing that with them. You know why? I love my kids. I really, really love my kids. Very close to all three of them. But at the end of it, I would say, but I love Jesus more than you. You know that, right? And the guy's like, but I trained him enough because he looked at me and says, I love Jesus more than you. And I don't recommend this in parenting. But one day I just said, hey, I said, Isaiah, who do you love more, mommy or daddy? Now I know he likes me more, amen? You cannot beat mommy, all right? And, I said that to him, and, you don't want to do that to your kids, amen? You don't want to do that. It's not good. It's psychologically damaging. But he looked straight in the eye, and he's so smart. I go, who do you love more, mommy or daddy? He said, Jesus. And I said, I don't know if he knows it in his heart, but I have trained him out of his mouth. I don't know if I'm going to offend you here. Some of your problem of why you struggle in your faith is that you don't make Jesus number one. He's more important than your girlfriend. He's more important than your career. He's more important than anything else in your life. Now, when I say that, when you focus on him and live for him, is he the good father? Is he really the one who knows you inside out? Will he take you to the places that you need to? I believe so. It looks like he's saying deny yourself, but actually when you deny our selfish self and put our heart into the lordship of Christ, he adds unto us. Our physical life says, I don't want to do that, there's somebody more important than, something more important, and pleasure is more important. But when you let it go and you say, my life, my wife, my children, my church is yours, Lord, it makes it a lot simpler. I tell my congregant, right now, I used to do a church that was this demographic, but now I hang out with old people, amen? Like all my congregation are hitting their 40s. I don't have as many younger guys. And I try to tell, these parents, which, I have kids, so I understand. I say, hey, you know what? When you put your kids above God, you're cursing your children. Now, some of you are like, man, you're being really strong here. I really love my children. I love my wife tremendously. She's my best friend. We've been married 31 years. Man, I really like my wife, amen? She's like, sometimes it's hard for her to hang out with me because we're so opposite. And she's like, when we get to heaven, I'm going to run away from you. And, I look at her straight and I go, when we get to heaven, I'm going to chase you all over heaven, all right? There might... we may not be married anymore, but I'm going to be the guy who's chasing after you, resurrected body, I'll never be tired, But if I love my children or my wife and I put them higher priority than my God, I'm actually cursing them, not blessing them. Now, I want to tell you, I'm not saying this is easy. It's not. It's not. I don't know. I'm speaking straightforward, but I really, really love my family. And I have to check this. I love my church. And even if I make serving the church higher priority to some degree than serving God, because the church could actually become my job that I get accolades from, I'm not really blessing the church. Amen? So there's a lordship battle. And you know, I'm just going to share with you and kind of challenge you. If Jesus is not Lord of all, you guys know some of this quotes, right? If Jesus is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all, right? This is a battle that you have to examine at different phases, sometimes different weeks, sometimes different days of your life, because left to atrophy, we will go after other idols. We will slowly drift away from the lordship of Christ to an idol factory that we slowly start being more loyal to than Jesus himself. And usually it's not a sin. It's not something evil. A lot of times it's a gift from God. It's a blessing that God gave you, that God wanted you to cherish and thank him and honor him and put it in the right categories. But we have slowly allowed things to become Lord over our life more than Jesus Christ. I could wax eloquent with different illustrations. I don't know how much time I got, amen? Let me share one. All right, you guys might have heard this. You know, I like playing soccer. Played it during high school. I'm not really good, but I'm pretty good. I play 50 and older league, right? It's kind of funny, like among the 50-year-olds, I'm actually going to be hitting 60 soon. I'm actually considered fast, amen? But when I play with the 40 people, they're like, can you run? Anyway, I love soccer. Is this sin to play soccer? No, it's not. But what was crazy was I started in this league around my 40s, and slowly I saw myself thinking about soccer and playing, and nothing wrong, you know. One time I scored, this guy gave a cross, and I went up in the air and I headed it, and it went in. I was like, do you guys know Ronaldo? I look like him, you know. I literally must have jumped 6 feet, probably 6 inches, but I headed that, it ricocheted in, you know. One time in my soccer league, I scored 3 goals, hat trick, right? They write this little article, and they called me the holy man, you know, because they know I'm a pastor, you know, because my email says Pastor Young, okay? They're like, holy man came, and he scored 3 goals for the red team, you know? And, you know, when you get that kind of accolades, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm pretty good. And, you know, and then when you're old, you when you make a, you know, when you score like that, you think about it all night. You're like, oh, wow, yeah. I dribble like Messi, and I headed like Ronaldo, and oh, man, yeah. And I go back to my high school year. I mean, to make the long story long, let me just go a little longer here. This is a way back, about 10 years ago or more, we had a leadership retreat. And during the leadership retreat, there was a soccer game. Now, I want to tell you, if any other leader at our church struggled with going to a leadership retreat or a soccer game, I would have said, are you Christian? Like, what's wrong with you? You're a leader, right? But the thing about the soccer game was it was in between our lunchtime and this one seminar that I didn't have to do, all right? And so if I skip lunch and if I don't do that seminar, I could go. To make the long story short, I went. Now, okay, is this sin? Pastor Barry probably will say it is, but I justified that, no, it's not sin. Well, you know, after I went, I couldn't believe that actually I did that. I was a senior pastor. I skipped lunch and I didn't do the seminar. I gave it to my associate. Amen. But I feel the Spirit leading you to do that seminar. My wife found out, and she's kind of like the God voice in my life. She said, "Are you a pastor?" Well, you know, that woke me up. An innocent, I still play soccer. Innocent thing like playing soccer could slowly creep up and actually become Lord over my time. I just want to challenge you. Some of the reasons that we struggle spiritually is a lot of things are creeping up and competing with Christ. And when that happens, we're losing the lordship battle. So second is the lordship battle. We need to reevaluate and say, "Lord, I want to break down the idols. Lord, I want to say no to other things. When I compare my devotion to you, I love you. I am committed to you. Compared to that, there's nothing else." Lastly, let me close off by sharing the wisdom battle. And if you look at James chapter 1, verse 2-5, it says this: "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." It's interesting here. James in verse 5 says, if you lack wisdom, ask God for wisdom. But when is he proposing that we need wisdom? Well, he's proposing that we need wisdom when we go through trials, difficulties, hard times, disappointments, depression, when trials of many kind come into your life. James actually says we should find joy in that because, he says, it will make you stronger in your faith. But he says if you can't figure this out, in the midst of that trials of many kind, you need to pause and understand there is a wisdom perspective battle. Lord, I need wisdom to see how this disappointing time with you, this difficult time where I feel like you're not answering, you're not there, how is this supposed to help me? James says you need to ask wisdom. Because in those dark moments, you need God's perspective to see what is going on. Not your thoughts, not your ways, not the circumstances dictating everything, but for us to stand and say, "Lord God, give me wisdom so that I can see you in this situation." Because I want to tell you, the enemy will confuse you. The enemy will divide you. The enemy will bring you into compromise. We need to stand in silence and ask God for wisdom. If you've been in the church world, if you walk your faith walk for a long time, this is an interesting thing. There's a person who goes through cancer. Everything is wrong in their life. Everything looks like it's falling apart, and they fall in love with Jesus more. They let go of bitterness and what they feel like is not answered prayer. And when they're at the edge of their life, when they're at the moment of death, even though they're going to leave their children behind at a young age, they fall in love with Jesus more and they see God. You know, this is a testimony of one of our brothers in AMI. Pastor Eddie. And I was with him in his last days as he battled stomach cancer, and it was a difficult battle. All of AMI was praying for him. There were some moments where it looked like there was going to be a miraculous event, but he left behind 3 kids. One out of college, one in college, and one about to go to college. But in the midst of that, you know what I saw? In Pastor Eddie, I saw him seeing more of Jesus, more of who God was in his life. But you know, other people travel the difficulty, the dark moments of what it seems as if God's not answering, the silence of God, and they find themselves disappointed, angry, divided, compromised. Now, if you've been in tough times of life, humanly speaking, I understand. I understand why your faith could be shaken, why bitterness could creep up, why you may say, where's God? Like when I need him the most, I feel like he's not there. When I need him to get rid of the cancer so I can serve the Lord more, longer, he's not there. Well, where is God? I understand that, humanly speaking. But that's why I think James says in this particular passage, sometimes you need to pause and say, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Give me your thoughts, not just my emotion. Give me your thoughts, not just my circumstance. I want to tell you, I say this all the time. If you find Jesus in blessing moments, you have found Jesus. But when you find Jesus in the darkest moment, you have really found Jesus. I know it sounds the same. But those of us who found Christ in times of trial, times where we feel like God abandoned us, but we realize that he was actually beside us, and we gain that wisdom. Now, okay, if there is any seekers here, I know you may be thinking, you're just justifying God. Nah, I don't know what else to tell you, but he is with you. If you are a child of God, he is with you. And our life is gauged not just in the temporary time zone. Our life is going to be gauged into eternity. And when we put an equation of eternity, the Bible says this world, even though it's very important, is like a vapor, a blinking of an eye. But even there, he is with you. You need to fight the wisdom battle. And you need to say, God, I don't feel you. I don't see you. But give me wisdom to know that you are not far, but that you are here with me. Again, I can go into many stories, but this time I will not. I just want to tell you this. In the hardest, difficult time in my life, where I couldn't see, hear, or feel Jesus, when I paused and went through that time, that's when my faith grew the most. I want to show you a picture here, the first one. I found this, and it's kind of a weird picture, right? This is kind of, for me, the spiritual battle, right? The wisdom battle. You know, this is the lordship battle. The enemy, like a roaring lion, wants to devour us, okay? And the next one is kind of graphic, so please, if you're sensitive, okay? And what he's going to do, he's going to go after the calf, the one who strays. I don't know if you guys watch a lot of animal, you know, documentary. For some reason, I watch a lot of it. I kind of like get into, the last thing I was really getting into, red ants. You know, how red ants are coming all over America, and it came from Amazon, and how do you get rid of red ants? Anyway, there's all these theories, but, you know, it wants to devour us, especially in the times of struggle, especially in the times of difficulties. But in Jesus Christ, we need to have victory over the spiritual battle. We need to have victory over the lordship battle. We need to have victory over the wisdom battle, and we need to chase the enemy out. Here's the picture I want you to leave with, right there. Right? We need to cast out the enemy and say, Jesus is the Lord of my life. God, give me faith, Lord, to see the spiritual battle. And God, help me right now to experience your wisdom in the hardship. I was thinking that, you know, as Pastor Chan gets ordained, he's that bull right there, the first guy, you know, because, you know, Pastor Barry's over there saying, I'm going on a sabbatical, you know. So you go after that man, all right? You go after that enemy, okay? But as you know, the rest of the congregant is facing saying, we cast out and declare victory in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Let's stand.